Hello, everybody. Great to be back once again. Today, I am happy to announce that we are going right back into the Fallout franchise, as you guys really seem to enjoy my last video on Vault 11. If you haven't checked that one, don't worry. You won't need to have watched it to understand what we're going to be talking about today, but it might give you a little bit of a better understanding of the setting as a whole. Now, today, we are not talking about any of the other vaults. Instead, we are talking about the tragic events that happen to a person that undergoes too much radiation exposure in the Fallout universe, and that is ghoulification. Now, what exactly is ghoulification? As I said, is what happens to a person if they undergo too much exposure to radiation. Now, this process can take anywhere from just a few hours to an entire year, as it depends on the level of exposure that you get. Now, what happens when you become a ghoul, when you undergo ghoulification, is that your skin starts to thin and then peel off. Your nose falls off, and so do your ears. Your hair also eventually falls out. You undergo a state of living necrosis, as the radiation tears apart your body, but also keeps you from fully dying. When the ghoulification process is fully completed, you barely represent what looks like a normal person anymore. Sure, you have your arms and your legs, hopefully, and you can still speak as well, hopefully, but as I've stated, your skin has exposed muscles all throughout it. You have little to no hair. You have lost your sense of smell as your nose has fully fallen off, and your hearing has also most likely been damaged, as well as your vocal cords, as you now have this deep, guttural, raspy voice that makes you sound more like something out of the living dead than an actual full-blown human being. Now, it's not technically all hardship, as becoming a ghoul does come with a few benefits. For example, due to the radiation ripping its way through your body and making your overall body functions a bit slower than normal, the amount of drugs or alcohol it takes for somebody to feel anything is doubled the required amount than it would for a normal person. And as I've also stated, depending on the amount of radiation you suffered, the physical effects may be a bit easier to look at, as people who are closer to ground zero of, say, a nuclear explosion, for example, may completely look like ramble, shambling corpses, whereas someone maybe a bit further away or who was exposed to radiation throughout a longer period of time to become a ghoul may look a bit more decent on the eyes. They'll still have horribly scarred skin, probably no hair, if they do maybe a very little amount of it, and they still, like I said, won't exactly be a pretty picture, but it's a lot better than the alternative. Now, with such a horrible process, surely no one has ever gone through this willingly. However, there actually have been two that we know of. That a person named Desmond, who was a former British intelligence officer for the British Army, and Eddie, who was a mob boss before the Great War. Now, you may be asking, how are these people ghouls if they existed before the Great War? How did they become ghouls before the Great War? Well, you see, since Desmond was such a high level of an espionage agent, and since Eddie was a mobster who bribed a government official, they knew the Great War was happening. They knew it was going to happen, so they underwent the process of ghoulification to prepare themselves for the war. And now you also may be wondering, how are they possibly still alive after nearly 200 years at least from the Great War happening? Well, another benefit of ghoulification, if you can call it that, is that you are functionally immortal. That's right. You no longer have to worry about old age. Now, ghouls can, of course, still die to, say, an explosion, or to gunfire, or to a strong melee weapon. But as it for old age, you don't really have to worry about that anymore. Another benefit of this process, as I said, with their stomachs being tougher, their digestive tracts being tougher, and them also no longer having a sense of smell anymore, they can actually stomach some pretty horrendous food. And because of their hardy stomachs, they can actually basically eat almost anything and have it be sustainable for them. That is, if they ever really even need to eat in the first place, as it's honestly debated whether or not they actually need to or not. We have a case in the game Fallout 4 with the tragic kid Billy, who will get his own video, trust me, because his story is horribly tragic. But Billy was stuck for 200 years, isolated, with no access to food or water. And when we find him in the game, he's fine. He doesn't seem starving, he doesn't seem overly thirsty, he doesn't seem on the brink of death even. He seems completely fine. Yet we do see other ghouls in the game saying, oh, I'm going to get something to eat, or we see them resting and eating or drinking. So we don't really know if they just do this out of habit or because they enjoy it, or if maybe some ghouls, depending on radiation exposure, do still need to eat and drink. We're not sure, unfortunately. Now, you may be hearing these benefits, and it might say, maybe being a ghoul isn't quite so bad. Sure, I look not that great, I don't have a sense of smell anymore, and I obviously had to go through some pretty traumatic radiation exposure to become this, but maybe the benefits are outweighing the negatives. However, this part might cause you to rethink that, as when you go under the process of becoming a ghoul, you actually have the possibility of going feral. Now, feral ghouls are more traditionally what you might associate with a zombie. They are cannibalistic, as they eat people. They are complete monsters who will attack any person on sight and can't be reasoned with. They can't talk anymore, seemingly, and are just complete and total monsters that have been the bane and death of many, many survivors throughout the wastelands. And the horrible part about this is that we actually don't know what the difference is between someone becoming a feral ghoul and a non-feral one. We thought it was maybe levels of exposure to radiation, but people have been close to ground zeros of nuclear blasts, and some of them turned out fine. We also thought for a while that maybe it was isolation. People who were ghouls by themselves for too long eventually just snap and turn feral. But as we talked about with Billy, he was alone completely and totally for 200 years, all by himself in a cramped space with no one to talk to. And when we find him, he's fully sentient and aware of himself and his surroundings. And we also hear tales of ghouls who were part of societies or groups suddenly just turning feral one day. So, horrifically enough, it might actually be completely and totally random. It seems that sometimes ghouls can just become a ghoul and become feral instantly, or it could happen days, weeks, months, or even years after they become a ghoul. Finally, their brain just eventually snaps one day, and then it's over. There's no cure for feral ghouls, unfortunately. Once they're gone, they're seemingly gone forever. Now, one last detail I want to talk about is the glowing ones. Now, glowing ghouls can happen to both feral and sentient ghouls. However, glowing ones that are still sentient don't really have an opportunity to become part of any group or such. Glowing ghouls emit radiation just by simply standing around them. This happens because their body has stopped filtering out the radiation that is in their bodies, and because of that, it is physically building up in their body, and which is causing them to glow like this and passively just emit radiation. Ghouls also, unfortunately, can face a lot of discrimination as people don't trust them, as they could become feral, or they just simply don't like looking at them, or just obviously because of their appearances. But it isn't the case everywhere, as there are societies that do still welcome ghouls with open arms and don't care. And even for ghouls that can't find such societies, there are societies completely made up of ghouls for them to seek sanctuary in. Perhaps the ghouls will be the last one left. Immortal, no food, no water, or at the very least very little of it is needed. While the wastelanders succumb to radiation, sickness, old age, starvation, thirst, they will simply live on forever. Now, another aspect of the ghoulification is that they are incredibly resilient. If they lose a limb, they can simply reattach it, and it will eventually graft back onto their bodies. And this process can actually be sped up if they are exposed to more radiation, as not only does radiation help heal them, it also makes their abilities stronger. The more radiation a ghoul is exposed to, the actually stronger they become. But that's all we know on ghouls. Now, there are some other specific kinds of ghouls or one-off appearances of like some weird kinds, but I kind of want to give those characters their own videos, as they have quite the extensive stories of their own, and I don't want to take up too much of your time here. Do you think becoming a ghoul in this world would be worth it? Do you think having the appearance, the no sense of smell, or the process, or the possibility of possibly going feral is worth it in a world such as Fallout? Does the extra resilience and lack of aging and the be able to eat basically whatever you need at any given time, is it worth it for the discrimination, for the, again, way you look, the lack of smell? That's the main question I want to ask, as it is a question that has gone through the community for quite a long time. Would the time that you spent being alive and the things you've seen simply drive you mad? Would you happen to just go feral? Is it worth it if you didn't? Let me know down in the comment section down below. I want to know what you guys all think of this. But until next time.